Chapter 20.
Miss Abigail, you're back!
A young girl ran across the hall and jumped into Abigail's arms.
I missed you so much!
Abigail squeezed the girl tight.
I missed you too, Libby.
Tears welled up in Abigail's eyes when moments later the girl's mother and several others greeted her, along with Kaylin and Watson. When Hodiah approached, Abigail thought,
Adam was right. What was I so afraid of? My friends still love me. Hodiah, how have you been?
Her words trailed off when Hodiah walked right by without even meeting Abigail's eyes. Hodiah took the girl's mother by the elbow. She whispered something, and the mother shot Abigail a shocked glance, grabbed her daughter's hand, and cut a hard path through the crowd away from Abigail. The gnawing abyss of despair reopened inside Abigail and swallowed the glimmers of hope that had sparked. The pain was so sharp, she touched her stomach to see if there was a physical wound. A firm, gentle hand warmed her shoulder, and Charles' fatherly voice calmed her.
It will be a mixed response, I'm sad to say. Those who remember their own bondage in the orchard will celebrate your return. Those who have forgotten their former bondage, or who imagined theirs to have been a bondage of lesser shame, will tolerate your presence. And those who are still in bondage but don't realize it will, he motioned toward Hodiah and the other woman, do that. Abigail turned toward the door, but Charles caught her arm. Be patient with them, Abigail. Remember when you had to raise the sword against your old self to escape the orchard? That's the same battle these people are in right now. Every soul in this hall will be tested. She recalled how difficult that moment had been. She had no idea how much her heart cherished her own evil until she had to deliver that death blow, and it felt like it was she who died. Shame and sorrow gave way to compassion. Those people with their backs to her, despising her, they were trapped in the same prison she had just escaped, and winning their freedom would prove just as costly as hers. She ached for them. She wanted to help them, as the others had helped her. But without her weapon, what could she do? A small gathering formed around one of the servers. Abigail couldn't make out what they were saying, but none of them looked happy. The group became increasingly animated until the server finally nodded and crossed over toward Adam. He positioned himself between Adam and Abigail, with his back to Abigail.
Welcome, Adam, said the impeccably dressed server. Perhaps I could get you a jacket?
Adam's dirty, tattered clothes definitely stood out, as did Abigail's equally grubby attire. Seven warriors rocketed down from the ceiling, swords trained on Adam. Gabor struck like lightning. He slashed through five of the diving warriors with one stroke of his sword and finished the other two on the return sweep. A moment later, 50 warriors encircled him. Gabor walked in a slow circle around Adam, glaring at each one.
Who's first?
The warriors exchanged glances. None advanced. Gabor singled out one, pinned him with a hard stare, and moved toward him. That warrior wilted, stepped back, and turned to flee. But before he could make his retreat, he found himself facing the Prince of Darkness. The prince's eyes flashed fire. The warrior wheeled around and flew toward Adam, followed by the rest. Gabor stationed himself in front of Adam and unleashed his fury, cutting down wave after wave of attacks. Three huge warriors dropped from above. Gabor sent all three flying with a single stroke, still fending off the frontal attack. But soon those surging from the rear overtook Adam.
Remember this, shouted one of the warriors.
He replayed Adam's first meeting with the Great Ones. Adam regarded the impressive man before him and noted his perfectly tailored suit. It was the suit, and the suit alone, Adam thought, that made the man impressive. Everyone else in the remarkable crowd displayed equally flattering clothes. He suddenly felt naked in his torn and stained garments. I stick out like a sore thumb in this crowd. A memory flashed into his consciousness, a memory so vivid It seemed to be playing out before his eyes. He stood before the Great Ones, longing for their approval more than anything in the world. Next came recollections of years in the Golden City when he longed for acceptance in that world, but never really found it. Always an outsider. Then came the scene of his first visit to the banquet hall, when he so desperately wanted to fit in. Memory after memory of times he had been rejected, neglected, or marginalized, cut into his soul. Stinging heat ripped across Gabor's back. He spun and snapped the attacker's sword with his free arm, but another warrior cut his leg. Gabor kicked past him and smashed the butt of his sword into the face of another. Again, a shot of pain torched his side, then another.
"There are too many."
The attack on Adam was equally fierce, and Gabor saw Adam's spirit begin to wilt. In a surge of resolve, he thrust several warriors from his back, and through searing pain, pressed toward the two dark menaces speaking into Adam's ear. He ran his sword through one and flung the other away by his hair. In an instant, another cloud of warriors descended on him. He managed to speak one sentence into Adam's mind before the dark mob pulled him away.
"Mind your feet."
As he was being dragged away, Gabor shouted to Adam,
"Greatness in the eyes of men is not greatness."
Glancing down, Adam saw his feet shrinking. Then he noticed the server's feet. They were as small as a lowlander's.
"Why do I care about what they think?"
"Sir," said the server. Adam looked up from his feet and accepted the jacket from the server. "Thank you." He slung it over his shoulder. "What do you have for Abigail?" The server took Adam's elbow, pulled him a few steps away, and lowered his voice.
"I don't think the people are quite ready."
"Ready for what?" Adam said in full voice. The man adjusted his collar and cleared his throat. "Disobedience to the ruler cannot be taken lightly. When there has been a failure of this magnitude, the person needs to understand the damage she has done. If she is simply welcomed back with open arms, without any consequences, what does that say to our children?"
"That you have a forgiving heart like the ruler?"
The server smiled, which seemed calculated to hide his increasing discomfort.
"Of course we all forgive her, but there are consequences for what she did."
"Are there consequences for other evils, like, say, unforgiveness, or self-righteousness, or maybe pride? How about gossip?"
The server's face reddened.
"That's not the same thing.
I'm disappointed in you, Adam. You seem to think what she did is a small matter. It makes me wonder if you've been eating just as much fruit as Abigail." By now, the people who had spoken to the server surrounded Adam. He braced himself.
"Here it comes."
But the rebuke he'd expected didn't come.
"We want to welcome you, Adam," a man said. "Congratulations on escaping the orchard. We're honored to have you."
"Oh, thanks.
A woman hugged him.
"We're so glad you're here. I know it can feel overwhelming when you're new, but all you have to do is be yourself."
These people had never even met him, yet they embraced him like a brother. For the first time in his life, he belonged. He found himself walking with the group as they migrated back to their table. Once seated, a man slid a plate in front of Adam.
"Dig in."
Adam eyed the mound of food on the plate. This had been that man's meal. He marveled. Sharing your own plate? That's not the sort of thing you do with a guest. That's something brothers might do. As the group at the table laughed, joked, and exchanged stories, Adam leaned back in his chair. Never had he felt more at home, like he'd been part of this group for years. All his life, Adam had to earn a place in people's lives. But these people, they just met him, and
"I'm curious," said one of the women.
"Hodia saw Abigail eating grapes in the orchard. You were with her, right? What other kinds of fruit did she eat?"
"Other kinds? Well, I don't...
"Poor thing," said the woman who had hugged him. "She used to be so beautiful." She shook her head, then looked back at Adam and smiled.
but we believe in restoration. In time, if she proves herself, she will be welcomed back.
In time? What does that mean? She's on some kind of probation? The woman laughed.
Oh no, nothing like that. It's just that when someone does what, well, you know, when someone goes that far, we can't pretend nothing happened. It takes time.
Adam studied each face at the table. Time? I thought if a person returned to the Father, would you say it was because of her influence that you ended up walking out the last time you were here? The server asked. And when you were in the lowlands with her, did she? Distracted by the war raging in his heart, Adam didn't catch the rest of what he said. He felt pressure to agree with their attitude toward Abigail, or at least to keep quiet. His place in this family suddenly felt tenuous, like it might be in jeopardy if he associated himself with Abigail.
Just look at her, said the server. Does she look to you like she belongs here?
Adam turned in his seat and studied Abigail, as if sizing her up for the first time. Without taking his gaze from her, he replied, When I look at her, I see a daughter of the builder of the cottage, and a sister of the ruler of the kings of the earth. I see royalty. Adam faced the group. And I see a fearless friend who risked her life to save Kaelin when she was being attacked by wild animals. I see a woman who can change the course of a man's life simply by her smile. Most of all, he added, now locking his gaze on the server, I see humility. The server scoffed, then stood and left the table. Adam jumped to his feet and stepped in front of him. Do you remember the Father's words, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. The server's look of confusion made Adam wonder if the man had ever even been to the cottage. He continued, The Father lives in two places, in the cottage and in the humble, repentant heart. The Prince of Darkness also lives in two places, in the lowlands and, he fingered the man's chest, in the proud heart. Adam started to walk away, but then turned back. And if you people are thinking I'm no better than Abigail, he tossed the jacket back to the server. That's the one thing you got right. The Prince of Darkness had both hands pressed firmly against the man's ears, so none of Adam's words penetrated. He had also hardened the others' hearts so thoroughly that Adam's words landed like seeds on a paved road. Adam strode toward the kitchen doors and hopped up on the platform. I have something to say, he shouted. The milling crowd hushed. Some of you are offended that two malnourished people have just come from the orchard to visit your banquet hall. I'm new to all this, so perhaps you can tell me, what is the purpose of the banquet hall? Is it not to feed the malnourished? I was told the sole requirement for entry was appetite, which we have. Do you? He scanned the crowd. A dropping pin would have startled everyone. Adam lowered his voice. Perhaps I'm wrong. I hope I am. Charles approached the platform. Looks like it's dinner time, Adam said. I guess we'll see who's hungry and who's just pretending.